It is many times said, it is ignorance that is the root of problems, and that is true. It's ignorance and sometimes being stubborn against the acceptance of truth. In other words, sometimes it's pure ignorance, lack of knowledge, absence of understanding, absence of knowledge. And sometimes it's rejecting knowledge that is put forth to the person, being stubborn against it. Some of the behavior that we're seeing today regarding this virus and this illness that is going around is because of ignorance, not having the right understanding. And that goes in different areas. One of the important areas that there's ignorance, even on the part of believers, is understanding it in the context of the bigger picture. Understanding it in the context of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a being just watching things happen on their own. And he's just watching that, and I don't know for what reason he would be doing that, but some of the ways that we tend to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's relationship with us and with mankind, with this world, even as believers, seems to be something like that. No, he's very involved in it, every bit of it. Every bit of it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about. In regards to this, understanding it in something that is a little more specific on the matter, this verse that was recited in Surah Al-Baqarah, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت. Have you not seen the people who left their homes? وهم ألوف, there were thousands. حذر الموت, out of fear of death. There was a plague. There was the plague back in the days, way before Islam. And people started catching it. They didn't have the idea of a quarantine inside the city. They decided that they're going to leave the city in order to avoid being in contact with those who've already gotten the plague and this illness. What happened? So this is what the people did. This is what came to their mind to do in order to escape this illness. They left their town. Verse continues to say, فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, die. He took their lives. In other words, they escaped, they left in order to escape death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their lives. They died. ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them back to life. Okay, he brought them back to life. There are probably many different reasons, wisdoms, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this story in the Holy Quran. There's many lessons that need to be taken from this, every part of that. What I want to take from this, a reminder that we've been repeating, is that, look, life and death is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. It's in God's hands. Us getting the illness or not getting it is in God's hands. This isn't to say that we're not supposed to take measures. We are supposed to take measures that have, that are founded, that have a reason behind them, not out of fear and panic. That's an emotional decision. You want to make a wise decision. Decisions that are made as individuals, as communities, they have to be based on wisdom, based on reason, based on knowledge, based on understanding. If the governor of California, who has access to means that I don't, none of us I think here have, they have access to all the physicians, all the different views, intelligence and everything, all the resources that are available. They're saying we advise congregations 250 and above to not have their programs. Okay. If we have less than that, If he, with all of what he knows, he's advising people not to have that. We say we want to shut everything down. If we have less than that, we're 100 people. If everybody gets together, want to shut that down. What is that based in other than fear? Baseless fear and phobia. We have to take measures based on taklif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're supposed to protect yourself based on your understanding, but know that you can't protect yourself from me. I'm telling you, you protect yourself from illness. I will decide if I want to give it to you, I'll give it to you. But despite all the measures you've taken, I want you to get it. You're going to get it. Okay. These two are not conflicting ideas. They are together, and it helps actually. In order to be able to make reasonable decisions, you are required, you need to have the understanding of the greater context of things, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. And death is not the end of everything. In fact, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, besides and other imams in the Quran, before Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions it in this khutbah of Hammam, Allah mentions in the Quran, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ. If you're awliyaullah, if you want to be awliya of Allah, friends of God, you can't wait for the moment of death. God says that your taklif is to protect your life. Illness comes, you need to take the measures that you're able to identify. At the same time that a mu'min does that, a mu'min cannot wait for the moment that God says, okay, I want you to come and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amir al-Mu'mineen, going back to that khutbah, in the khutbah, the sermon of Hammam, because the person who asked Amir al-Mu'mineen is Hammam, he says that Hammam asks Amir al-Mu'mineen to describe muttaqin. One of the descriptions Amir al-Mu'mineen gives is that a muttaqi is a person that is almost forcing himself, barely able to keep himself in this material body and cannot wait for the moment to depart this, leave it, die. Okay. If a person's understanding of life and death is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, if we understand that this life was given by Allah someday through some mean or means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to get it. He's going to take it. There are going to be material means of various forms, whether it's a car accident, a virus, bacteria, weapons, some sort of accident. Those are the material means. Then there's spiritual means. There's angels of death. Not one angel. There's a number of them. Izrail is the main angel responsible for that, but there are multiple angels. These are all means, from the angel Izrail all the way to the material means that are the cause of death. We identify, we say the cause of death of this person is a heart attack or a stroke or this or that. These are all material means. Besides the material means, there are spiritual means, which are the angels and various angels. All of these are means. Huwa yuhyi wa yumeet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives life and he takes life. And understand, everything is a test. A test of what? To make sure, or to see who's going to live longer in this world? No, we're never meant to live long in this world. However long we live is not even comparable to a second in the hereafter, because that's eternal. What would a second mean in the hereafter, in the context of the hereafter? We need to use these times to remind ourselves when disbelievers or weak believers are starting to panic out of the fear of, oh my God, I'm going to die. So, okay, I die. What's going to happen next? What's so scary about death? A believer should go through this. Their iman should increase. It's the month of Rajab. Brothers, sisters, let's not allow this disease, this tiny, it's not even a microorganism. It doesn't even have, it's a virus. Let's not allow this to distract us from Allah, from the time that we're in, a blessed and very special time for us to make that connection. Prepare for the month of Ramadan. This is going to pass, you know. These times come and go. The times of difficulty, hardship, fear, pain, they come and they go, the same way that the times of ease, happiness, joy, they come and they go. In this material realm, everything, it comes and it goes. Amir al-Mu'mineen has hadith on that as well. He says, look, الدهر يومان يوم لك ويوم عليك. Life is 2 days. One day it's for you, another day is against you. The day that it's for you, don't be too happy or too proud. It's going to go away. The day it's against you again, don't be too saddened by that. It's going to go as well. Don't get distracted by these things. These, instead of them being distractions, they should be ayat of Allah, signs that help us, remind us of the purpose of this life, help us get a better connection with Allah, and inshallah, for the mu'mineen, definitely it is such. This, for the disbelievers, is a niqmah, not the material side, the spiritual side of it. It will be a cause for people to go deeper in their kufr, in their disbelief, in their rejection of Allah. And for a believer, it's an opportunity in the context of the month of Rajab. Now this is happening. They're able to, inshallah, increase in faith. Recite a salawat, please. The verses that followed and were recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about qital. He talks about fighting, material conflict. And there's an order there, there's a command there. Fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fighting in the way of Allah is one of the Islamic instructions that is there in the context where it applies. Okay. There are times believers have got to take arms and they've got to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an order from Allah. You have to do that. It doesn't apply to us here now. It's not our thing. In certain areas right now, these last couple of days in the context of the coronavirus in Iraq, the U.S. has created excuses to again attack Hashd al-Sha'bi bases and kill believers. Okay. The believers there have a responsibility against this invading force to fight them. They have an obligation of qital fi sabilillah. The same way that the believers in Syria have an obligation to do qital fi sabilillah against the terrorists and their supporters in Idlib, and then later on in the eastern provinces of Syria and wherever else. In Yemen, the believers have a responsibility of doing qital. For us, that currently does not apply. We're not in a context that we have a responsibility towards qital. But it's good to know this. And using this difficult case and the story that's given to us in those verses that were read, we've got to try to prepare ourselves mentally. We don't know if or when it's going to happen. There are people throughout their lifetime, there's never a situation where they had to do qital. Most of the imams, of the 12 imams, most of them did not have a condition that they were responsible to perform qital fi sabilillah. They didn't. Amir al-Mu'mineen did during the time of the Prophet and afterwards. Imam al-Mujtaba with his father did. After his father didn't have the opportunity, he didn't have the conditions. Imam al-Husayn with his father did. In Karbala did again. Imam Zain al-Abidin in Karbala, he was ill. Afterwards, there was no condition that he had to get involved with qital. Imam al-Baqir all the way to Imam al-Askari, no qital. The 12th Imam from his birth to his imamah, no qital. From his imamah up to today, he has not been involved directly in a qital. Indirectly, any of these qitals that's under the direction of the imam, the guidance of the imam, the light of the imam, with the success of the believers, he's there. But for him to personally be involved in qital, that's not what we are seeing. When he arrives, there will be qital. That's clear in all of the hadith. He will be engaged in that. It may not happen, but it also may. If it happens, when it happens, that's not up to us. If the conditions are there, the responsibility is there. More important, brothers and sisters, many times in regards to Islamic teachings, is besides the practical implication and us actually having to fulfill that, is to understand and agree and believe and encourage those who it applies to fulfill that rule. We said the imams, most of them, qital, they didn't get involved in it. But look at the language of these same imams, how they speak of it. Believing in it is important. For instance, you'll have people that will classify themselves, identify as pacifists, people who just don't like war. A Muslim cannot be a pacifist. If they are, they're not Muslim. Or they don't at least understand that that contradicts their faith. You can't be. Islam says, قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. You have to fight in the way of Allah. Yeah, you're not supposed to go and just start killing people. But there are times, pacifism, you know, avoid war. We are against war. A Muslim is not against war. A Muslim is against a war that is not just. In fact, the Quran says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid says, we sent prophets with the book, with mizan, لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلَ الْحَدِيدِ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. We sent down iron that is used for all the different weaponry. Iron is used. فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ. In order to implement justice, hadid is required. Those who think that, oh, let's put that aside, that's not how you get to justice, according to Islam, according to Allah, according to wisdom, according to really understanding conditions and circumstances, that's not possible. That's never going to be possible. In fact, one of the verses that we had, one of the interpretations towards the end, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا or بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضًا لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. Okay, there's two verses that have a similar language. Allama Tabatabai says one of them is in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supporting one group of people against the other. And one of them, and I think it may be this one, that is telling us that war is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about in the context of human beings. And that's a reality. You know, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge and you have war, that means He brought it about. It's not that it just came about on its own. This notion that human beings create, God didn't want it, human beings created it, that contradicts Tawheed. Okay? And it contradicts these verses of the Quran. But contradicts Tawheed. Anything in the world and everything in the world is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed. Without the will of Allah, nothing will happen. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing will exist, nothing will happen. If a person does not agree with the Islamic teaching, even if it never applies to them, their iman is going to be deficient, it will be weak, it will remain incomplete. In order to complete the faith, you need to believe in every single thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. If you don't agree with it, you don't believe in it, your faith is not going to be complete. Besides that, encouraging those who it does apply to. If you look at those verses that were read, the whole story that's given there is the story of Banu Israel, Saul, David, and Goliath. This story is given in these verses. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالُوا قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, there were those of the believers that were saying, let's not do this. And today, for the believers that it applies to, some say, let's not do this. Some are telling Hashd al-Sha'bi, don't hit back. Do not hit. Don't target American bases. Although the base that was targeted with a few Katyusha rockets, that was not Hashd al-Sha'bi. Hashd al-Sha'bi does not play games. If they want to get you guys, they're not going to use Katyusha missiles to get you. That's the old days of Hezbollah. As old days, a few decades old, that they used to use Katyusha missiles. If you, these guys are your own guys that are doing this. They're trying to frame Hashd al-Sha'bi. There are people that are suggesting to these believers, don't fight. When they unleashed their terrorist groups that they created and gave Islamic names and flags and literature and platforms and everything in Syria, there were those who were encouraging the Islamic Republic not to fight. There were those who were encouraging Hezbollah not to fight. Oh, it's not your thing, you guys. You're Lebanese, stay in Lebanon. They were encouraging Hashd al-Sha'bi, the Iraqis that wanted to come, and they were there from the beginning. There were already some Iraqis in Damascus. Some of them got involved, then from Iraq they started coming, they got involved. There were those who were saying, well, this is Syria, you guys don't get involved in this. It's a taklif. In Palestine, there are those who are saying, let's not go. This is, you know, they're calling Hamas a terrorist organization, Jihad Islami a terrorist organization. That's not the way forward. What do we need to do in negotiations? Negotiation what? They agreed, supposedly, as they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us they do not uphold any type of agreement. If they are in power, if you allow them, if you're not harsh, وَغْلُضْ عَلَيْهِمْ, if you don't have that, you're not harsh against them, where they don't feel like they can even approach you, if you're not like that, you have open arms, you try to embrace them, you say, yeah, first they'll come in as immigrants, then they'll start forming groups, bringing weapons, then they'll start throwing you out, as they did with the Palestinians. And they say, okay, negotiations. After they took all that land, negotiations, they said, all right, we'll give you guys this much of it. You guys can have a state. Up to today, where's the Palestinian state? Even based on the agreements. Forget about, we don't agree with that. From the river to the sea, that whole thing is Palestine. There's no such thing as Israel. This is an illegitimate creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take it away with the help of the mu'mineen. They need to fight. That's the way forward. It's not going to go away by itself. And it's not going to go away with negotiations. It's going to go away by fighting. Okay. That's how it's going to go away. They have got to fight. This is the point. When they wanted to fight, there were those that were saying, well, let's not do this. You're going to get all these people killed. Well, you negotiated how many more people got killed. How many more people are going to get killed? It's not simply to believe the cases where it applies. It needs to happen and people need to be involved. We have a responsibility to do amr bil ma'ruf. Ma'ruf is qital fi sabilillah in certain cases, wherever it applies. In the case of Yemen, it applies. In the case of Bahrain, it applies. They need to do qital fi sabilillah. You can't just, there's got to be, when they bring guns, they start shooting you people, you can't say, well, we'll just come. No, there's got to be weapons. You got to have qital fi sabilillah. Yes, come out, people come out, demonstrations, all that. But when they bring out guns, you can't say, okay, we're not going to have guns. We're just going to keep coming. Kill us all, we're going to send a few hundred more people, let them get killed as well. Who said that? Where did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that? أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قُتِلُوا. If I got the wording, the brother mentioned the Arabic, the rest of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given idhn, those who've been oppressed, they've been killed. Now you have, yes, in Mecca, the conditions were not there, Allah said, be patient. Don't fight. This is not the time. They went to Medina. War's begun. The battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, the battle of... And he said, okay, they're going to come and kill us. Just stand here. No. La ilaha illallah. Allah save us. We're just going to stand here. No. قَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. It applies to the people of Iraq against their invaders. In Syria, it applies where it applies. We have a responsibility to understand, to believe. If it applies to us, to implement, and where it applies to others, أَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Tell them, you guys need to do this. It's your responsibility to do this. While others are saying you shouldn't do this, we have a responsibility to support them. We have a responsibility in Islam. Brothers, sisters, this is another practical aspect of this. People are like, let's not talk about Hamas. You have it. Yeah, qital doesn't apply to you. You have a responsibility to encourage Hamas to fight Israel. They say, we have a responsibility to encourage Hezbollah to fight against Israel. Encourage Jihad Islami to fight against Israel. It's a responsibility. Islam gives us this responsibility. Doesn't matter who makes what law. No law stands in the way of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This notion that as Muslimin we are supposed to abide by the laws of the governments that we live under regardless of what they are is completely false. I've seen people, they quote fatwa of Maraja and say, oh, you have to... No, that's not what the fatwa says. There is no such fatwa. The fatwa is the laws that don't go against Islam. Since you agree, those who come in, this doesn't even apply to those who are born here. Those who come in, you sign a document there, you make an agreement with the kuffar that I will come to your country, I will abide by your laws. You're only allowed to agree to abide by laws that do not go against Islam. If they go against Islam, you have no right to accept that. Nobody has a right to set any law against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's law. No matter who puts what type of law, it is your responsibility as a Muslim to encourage Hamas, Jihad al-Islami, Hezbollah, and whoever fights the Zionist regime, it's your responsibility to support them.
Aflaha man salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support. Don't feel like, oh, we shouldn't talk about this. We shouldn't fight, negotiation. That's the direction of shaitan. You know what the result of that would be? The result of that would be, forget about land. Land is not even important. Your deen will be taken away from you. Your Islam will be taken away from you. Your love of the Ahlul Bayt will be taken away from you. In the generations to come, if you give in to this, there will be no Kaaba. Unless it's the Kaaba, pre-Islamic Kaaba, where the Kaaba became the center of polytheism. As the Saudi regime is trying to make the Kaaba right now. Look at all the buildings, the structures around it. Their notion of the Kaaba has nothing to do with Tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story. It's amazing. Banu Israel went to their prophet and said, okay, enough is enough. It's interesting how they started. Like, look, appoint someone for us. We need a commander. We'll go and fight. The Prophet told him, look, are you asking me to put a commander and then when I do, you're not going to go and fight? They said, why shouldn't we? We've been kicked out of our homeland. This has happened. All the things that now they're doing, the Zionist Jews are doing against others, against Muslimin and others. It's not only Muslimin, but mostly Muslimin. So why shouldn't we fight? No, we're going to fight. And he appointed a commander for them to go and fight under his command. Most of them didn't go. Most of them didn't go. there's a conversation about who, you know, why should this person be the commander and so on. I want to skip that. Most of them didn't go. Then those who went, a minority left with Saul or with Talut to go and fight. Talut told them, on the path, there will be a stream. You have got to avoid drinking from it. We need to go and fight. You have to avoid. Why? That's besides the point. There are different interpretations as why. He said, I'm the commander. I know something. I'm telling you, if you are coming with me to fight, you shouldn't have any of that. The best are those who have zero. Water. They're thirsty. They're moving on. He says, no, this stream, don't touch it. If some take just one handful, a little bit of water, then they'll still be able to join, but that's not the ideal. The ideal situation is take nothing. مَنْ لَمْ يَطْعَمْهُ فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي Those who do not taste this water, they don't even have a drop of it, فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي They are with me. They'll be able to continue. Most of this minority drank from the water, more than a handful. They didn't come. A minority of that minority went. They got to Goliath. Now the majority of this minority of that minority say, لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمِ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ We look at our numbers. We're too small a figure to deal with them. That's what some of the believers say today. Look, Palestine, Iraq, what are you talking about? We have nothing. Hashtar Shabi, you guys want to fight the Americans? Iran, you guys want to fight the Americans? Hezbollah, you want to fight Israel? Look at your numbers. Look at what they said. لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا الْيَوْمِ بِجَالُوتَ وَجُنُودِهِ Then it says, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ Those who had dhan, who had this assumption, this thought, this feeling, this belief, أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ That they're going to be meeting Allah. Death to them is meeting Allah. They're not afraid of death. قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ See, wisdom comes when you put the fear of death aside. Wisdom comes. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلًا غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Allah is in charge. Allah has set a commander for us and has told us to go and fight. That commander has brought us here. He's saying to fight. Therefore, Allah wants us to fight. If God wants us to fight, then He will, bi'idhnillah, we will win. Doesn't matter what our numbers are, what their numbers are. And then they said, when they arrived there, when they wanted to start, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَقَتَلَ دَاوُدْ جَالُوتْ They destroyed them. They destroyed them. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Recite the salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Do your takleef, brother or sister. Encourage, one of our responsibilities is encouraging. Doing amr bil ma'roof means this. A lot of times it's talked about nahi an munkar when somebody does haram. Amr bil ma'roof, there is a ma'roof that is not being implemented. At times people are weak. A lot of people are trying to, the shayateen are trying to tell people don't fight. With all these excuses that have been mentioned in these verses. How can you look? The Mujahideen, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ Today, they are saying the same thing. We need to say that. Encourage them. Encourage others. And not allow the whispers of the shaitan and the shayateen dominate the voices of the divine, the voices of the angels, the voices of the mu'mineen, the voices that of those who يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ And inshallah, we. One of the other teachings related to this, we'll end with it. It's not enough that we believe in it. It's not enough that we even encourage. We are told we need to want to be with the believers who are fighting the kuffar. The way you feel about that battlefield, you will be classified as one of those groups of people. You're not even there. Amir al-Mu'mineen tells us this in... This is the month of Rajab, the month of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Salamullah alayhi. I'm not sure if it's in the battle of Siffin or Jamal. Someone comes to the Imam and says, after it, I believe, and therefore I think it was Jamal, but I could be wrong. One of these battles. The companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen tells him, I wish my friend was with me, with us in this battle. Amir al-Mu'mineen told him, did he want to be here? He said, yes. He said, then he was with us. Not only he, but those who will come in the future. Your feeling about that battlefield, once you come to know about it, which side are you feeling like both of them are at fault? I ask Allah to forgive. I can't forget. During the Lebanon war in 2006, there was a Sayyid, Mu'ammam, in the DC area. I was shocked beyond imagination. There's a program about this. Others speak. They condemn the Zionist regime. They didn't have the guts to support Hezbollah, but at least they condemn the Zionist. This Sayyid stands up. He says, the killing of innocent people is wrong, but we don't blame either side. Both sides are to blame. And I'm just sitting there shocked. If that's your view, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to treat you like that. You weren't there. You didn't fight on either side. This is your feeling towards that battlefield. You can't be indifferent. You've got to want to be with Hamas, Hezbollah, Jihad al-Islami, Hashd al-Sha'bi, the believers in Syria, the believers in Yemen, the believers in Bahrain who are doing... The believers in what they call Saudi, inshallah, that name is removed. This Manhus family name is removed from that country. Those who are fighting, you gotta want to be with them. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those, the minority of the minority of the minority. That are الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا اللَّهِ that said كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلًا غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ Inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that he hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide their hajat, their needs, their requests, to relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save all believers and all good people from this virus and to help all of us in the context of this to see it as an ayah of Allah, as a sign of Allah, as a reason to get closer to him, as a reason to want to be with him, inshallah. We ask Allah, by the rights of the Imam of our time, that he hastens, that he relieves all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabiya wa alih rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli ala.